We are back in the book of Galatians, chapter 5, marching our way through our journey of the fruit of the Spirit. And so I would ask that you would turn there with me, please, to Galatians chapter 5. We're actually going to read the whole finishing part of Galatians 5 today, but we're going to be dealing with this aspect of the fruit of the Spirit called kindness. Again, I think it was a demonstration this week of kindness that was shown, of love that was shown as a church family. We rejoice with those who rejoice, and we mourn with those who mourn, and that took place this week as a demonstration of God's kindness to us and to Alice and to her family and to all of those who grieve for Marianne's loss. I'm thankful for this church family. Natalie and I were talking about this as Friday morning popped up and just realizing that if we want to end up anywhere, when our life comes to its conclusion, we want to be surrounded by church family that has known us and has loved us, and to not be located someplace where people may have known us a little bit, but we want to be deeply known and we want to be deeply loved, and that's a blessing here at Wallace Street to be able to have that as a part of our church family. So today we are going to look at this aspect of kindness, but not just any definition of kindness. What kind of kindness are we talking about? And so we're going to read today from Galatians 5 initially and then get into a lot of other scripture, some of which we may not get into entirely, but at least you have reference points in here to support what it is that we're talking about. So Galatians chapter 5, beginning in verse 22, says this: "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another." I wanted to include those last verses today, as we'll see, because as we've done with other aspects of the fruit of the Spirit, sometimes understanding what this part of the fruit of the Spirit is looking at the opposite of it, or what are some things that are not fitting within this realm of kindness. As we look at this scripture today from God's Word, first point is that the fruit of the Spirit kindness, that kind of kindness, the fruit of the Spirit type, is not being a weak believer. Now, what does that mean? Sometimes we can, or some people, think of Christians as people just are kind of just silent doormats that people can just walk over and Christians won't say a thing. That's not what we're talking about here. We're going to look at the Word of God today and see that demonstrating kindness to other people does not mean that you have to remain silent, nor does it mean that you have to just let people roll over you. In fact, many times God gives us the opportunity to speak the message of kindness to somebody else, and we kind of shy away for fear of maybe offending someone. And yet we have the greatest message of kindness that we could offer to somebody, and many times we keep that to ourselves. Most important part of this is, as it talked about in verse 25, it's being led by the Spirit of God, keeping step with the Spirit of God. He will tell us when we ought to speak or when we ought to stay silent. But we should not use him as an excuse for not sharing the truth with other people, both in word and as well as in deed. So the fruit of the Spirit, kindness, is not something where we forsake the truth in order to be, quote-unquote, kind to others. As I thought about this point, I was reminded of Marianne Griffiths. She lived this out in her life. Those of you who knew her well, she was never one to shy away from speaking the truth. She spoke it. She spoke it boldly, but you could always see that she had such kindness in how she did it. Even if she was a little fired up about whatever it was that she was talking about in the moment, there was kindness that came out of her. She knew the message of truth was communicated best through kindness. We're going to look at an example from God's Word about what we're talking about here as well. We as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ need to be sure that we're rightly dividing the Word of God. This passage from Romans chapter 2 is what I've seen some people turn into twisted Scripture, where we take the Word of God and we conform it maybe to what we want it to be. So Romans chapter 2, verses 1 through 5, tell us this: "Therefore you have no excuse, O man, every one of you who judges, for in passing judgment on another you condemn yourself, because you, the judge, practice the very same thing." Speaking of how we look at one another, how we think of one another, the things that we make judgments about, and yet we ourselves are doing those same things. "We know that the judgment of God rightly falls on those who practice such things. Do you suppose, O man, that you who judge those who practice such things and yet do them yourself, that you will escape the judgment of God?" And then verse 4 comes in: "Or do you presume on the riches of His kindness and forbearance and patience, not knowing that God's kindness is meant to lead you to repentance?" So we think of that sometimes and we think, oh, okay, it's the kindness of God then that leads us to repentance. God's just being kind to us. God's a God of love. God's a God of grace. God's a God of mercy. Yes, He is all of those things. But the kindness of God is the fact that He exposes that sin within us and makes us realize that we are not able to save ourselves. There's nothing eternally good that lives within us. That we must rely on the finished work of Jesus Christ for salvation. And that's the kindness of God that leads us to repentance. It's not just God being a doting father that just gives us what we want and never corrects us and doesn't tell us how disobedient or how evil or wicked we truly are in and of ourselves. God begins this as the righteous judge, thinking that somehow we can judge one another and measure ourselves by one another, but God alone is the one who judges us. And He judges us with His holiness. And again, speaking the truth, we have to make sure that we rightly divide the Word of God, that the kindness of God is His exposing our sin so that we can come to Him in the right way. That's the kindness that leads us to repentance, a turning away from our sin and a turning instead to walking in obedience to God. The last verse in Romans 2, 1-5, "But because of your hard and impenitent heart, you are storing up wrath for yourself on the day of wrath when God's righteous judgment will be revealed." Those who do not respond to the conviction of their sin, to the kindness of God that would lead them to repentance, are in fact storing up wrath for themselves, because God is a righteous judge. He will not wink at our sin. He's not a kindness God that looks the other way and does not punish sin. And so we need to rightly divide the Word of God. We cannot forsake the truth in order to be kind to someone else. It's not kind to someone for us to not speak truth when we know that someone is disobedient. Secondly, we do not behave foolishly and then call it kind. You can't go around and behave in a foolish way and then say, well, I'm just trying to be kind to this person. Many times in our lives, we're not living according to what the will of God is, but we claim that we're doing it because we want to be kind to other people. How can you be disobedient to God and yet claim to be being kind to others? What we're really doing is wanting to please ourselves, or we're wanting to make it easier on ourselves. We want to justify our own words, our own actions, and then slap this kindness label on whatever it is that we're doing. Again, God's Word tells us in Ephesians chapter 5. Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. God calls us to use wisdom in how we walk out our lives, to not just be foolish. There's a story in Aesop's Fables. I grew up hearing Aesop's Fables read from time to time as a child. The story of the hermit and the bear. There's an old hermit who lived in the forest, and there's a bear that came to him and said, "Hermit, please, you know, pull this thorn out from my paw. I'm in great pain." The kind hermit readily agreed and pulled the thorn out from the bear's paw. The bear was so grateful that he offered to work as a servant for this hermit. The hermit accepted the bear as his companion. They stayed together in this same little cave dwelling. They ate together. They worked together. And yet there was a hot day that came, and the hermit lay down on his mat to sleep. The loyal bear sat next to the hermit. He was driving all the flies away that were flying around the hermit's face. But there was one mischievous fly which ended up sitting right on the hermit's nose. The bear said to himself, "I'm going to get you now." And he swings his paw and gets the fly, but in the process hits the hermit's nose and bruises his face. The hermit woke up terrified, and then he drives the bear away in anger. So what was this whole story told about? Well, the meaning of the story is listed in two ways. Number one, it says a foolish friend can cause more harm than an enemy. The second one says this: he that admits into his company an awkward and ill-matched friend will sometime or other have reason to grieve, even for things that we intended in kindness. We can behave foolishly by allowing ourselves, our own actions, to cause things that are really not kind to others. Or we can allow other people to do things to us that really are not kind. But it's because we did not use wisdom. We were not allowing ourselves to be led by the Spirit, to be filled with the Spirit, as Ephesians 5 tells us to do. Ephesians 5 ends that passage saying, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. That's a kind thing for us to do. It's an obedience to God. It's doing what the Lord's will is. James 3 speaks of this as well, of this aspect of contrasting foolishness with wisdom. It says, again, this is one of those contrasting things. What is the opposite of kindness? Well, James lays this out. Who's wise and understanding among you? By his good conduct, let him show his works in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition, those things are not things that produce the fruit of kindness. Bitter jealousy, selfish ambition in your hearts. Do not boast and be false to the truth. This is not wisdom that comes down from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. We don't maybe think of it that seriously. Wait. No, I'm just a little selfish here. I see that in my life, this ambition. Or maybe a little jealous over here. But this wisdom is earthly. It's an unspiritual way of thinking. It's actually a demonic way of thinking, because Lucifer himself wanted to have his selfish ambition realized by being like God. Verse 17, but the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere. That's the contrasting. That's the kind wisdom that's not acting in a foolish way, but truly is living out kindness to others. As is often the case, when we deal with these aspects of the fruit of the Spirit, there's a lot of overlap. You'll hear the words gentleness. You'll hear words patience that have been listed in some of these verses. But the kindness that we have should flow out of this first thing that's listed as the fruit of the Spirit, which is love. It should be out of a proper context of understanding love. In that, there are two commands that Scripture gives us, and there's one commission that God has for us. The two commands are to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, all of our soul, all of our mind, and all of our strength. And the second command is to love our neighbor as ourselves. If you'll remember that, when Jesus said that, they said, well, who is my neighbor? And we see the story that Jesus tells of kindness, of the Good Samaritan who gives care and concern for someone not that would really treat him that well in life. The Jews and Samaritans were not friendly toward one another, and yet he showed kindness to this man who had been beat up by the robbers. He took him, bandaged his wounds, put him on his donkey and led him to an inn, paid for his stay that was there, demonstrating the kindness that ought to be a part of our lives. The kindness that is listed here in Galatians chapter 5. The fruit of the Spirit, kindness. So the two commands are to love God and to love our neighbor. And from that should come a natural outflow of kindness that we are showing to one another. The one commission that God gives us is another demonstration of kindness. That we're to go and make disciples. Again, we have the greatest message of kindness that anybody has in the world. The gospel of Jesus Christ. And we're to go and to make disciples with that message of kindness. We're to baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, and to teach them to observe all that Jesus commanded. It's a kind thing to do, to teach someone all that Jesus commanded. Again, to not remain silent and pretend to be kind, but to speak up and be willing to talk about what truth is and who Jesus is. The kindness in our lives should reflect Jesus Christ in how He came and lived His life. 1 Corinthians 13, a well-known passage by many of us speaking about love. Again, this proper context of understanding kindness is through this lens of love. Love is patient and kind, verse 4 says. Love does not envy or boast. It's not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. Not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. This is who Jesus was when He came to earth. Again, He wasn't one that would shy away from speaking truth as well. Some of us may look at how He exchanged things with the Pharisees or the teachers of the law and think, man, I don't know if that's kind, that's kind of harsh. No, He was speaking truth. He was trying to expose within them in a kind way their need for repentance, not just to be religious. And so we need to do the same. Ephesians chapter 2 speaks about God being rich in mercy. And so it says that in the coming ages, He might show the immeasurable riches of His grace in kindness toward us in Jesus Christ. Speaking of God's kindness towards us, Jesus Christ demonstrating that kindness. For by grace you have been saved through faith. This is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. That's a very kind thing for God to do, to not have salvation based upon our works. Because when would enough be enough? But in God's kindness, the immeasurable riches of His grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus, He is offering us salvation by grace through faith. Again, in chapter 4, the command is given to us as Paul is writing this letter to the Ephesians. The contrast of what isn't kind, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you along with all malice. Those are all things that are not kind in any way. But be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. What is Christ's demonstration of kindness toward us? He forgave us because of the finished work of Jesus Christ. Again, in the book of Titus, verse 4, "But when the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, He saved us, not because of the works done by us in righteousness, but according to His own mercy by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit." These are ways that Scripture speaks of Jesus Christ's kindness being shown to us, God the Father, through the work of the Holy Spirit showing us kindness, and we too ought to reflect that kindness toward one another. True kindness should be something that shines in us, that should shine out from us. Unbelievers should see a distinct difference in our lives versus those who don't claim to follow Jesus Christ. There should be something different about us. Luke chapter 6, Jesus speaking again, "Love your enemies, do good, and lend, expecting nothing in return, and your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, for He is kind to the ungrateful and the evil. Be merciful, even as your Heavenly Father is merciful." There's a story told about a wise woman who was traveling in the mountains and found a precious stone in the stream. The next day she met another traveler who was hungry, and the wise woman opened her bag to share her food with this other traveler. The hungry traveler saw the precious stone inside of her bag and asked the woman to give it to him. Without hesitation, she hands this precious stone over to the other traveler. The traveler left rejoicing in his good fortune. He knew that just the value of this stone was worth enough to give him security for the rest of his life. But a few days later, he became troubled. Why would someone take something so precious as this stone and give it away to a perfect stranger? He decided to find the kind woman and return the stone. And when he found her, he said, "I've been thinking. I know how valuable this stone is, but I give it back in hope that you can give me something even more precious. Give me what you have within you that enabled you to give me this stone." Sometimes it's not the wealth that you have, but it's what is inside of you that other people need. What would cause you to be kind to someone else with no expectation of anything in return? What would cause you to be willing to give to someone else? Again, I think there needs to be wisdom that's exercised here. You need to be led by the Spirit and not just do this to say, I really feel better now and I feel like I was really kind in this situation. This morning, we had a phone call that came into the church, which isn't unusual. Someone asking us to give them money. I say, "Well, are you familiar with Wallace Street? Have you been around here?" "No, no." "Are you tied into another church somewhere? Another local body?" "No, no." I said, "Well, we'd really be able to help you out a lot better if we knew you, if we were in relationship with you, if you were a part of our church family, then we know how best to help you. I'd love to sit down if you're willing to come in and we can talk, but our goal is that we would be able to be in relationship with one another." And so wanting to be wise with what God has entrusted to us, but also when the Holy Spirit says, "Give and trust me," to not be holding on to things so tightly as some sort of security for ourselves. Colossians chapter 4 says, "Walk in wisdom toward outsiders, making the best use of the time. Let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer each person." There's kindness in giving the proper answer to people and having our speech something that is seasoned with salt. Fellow believers should know kindness as a natural byproduct of being a part of a church family, of being a part of the body of Christ at large. Again, verses 25 and 26 here in Galatians 5. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying each other. Those are things that aren't kind. Those are not things that keep in step with the Spirit. Kindness is being led by the Spirit and keeping step with the Spirit. And when we do that, it's a blessing to others. Matthew chapter 25 tells us ways in which we can be kind to one another as fellow believers. Jesus is talking about when the Son of Man comes in His glory and all the angels with Him, He'll sit on His glorious throne. Before Him will be gathered all the nations, and He'll separate people from one another as a sheep separates the sheep from the goats. And He'll place the sheep on His right, but the goats on the left. And the King will say to those on His right, "Come, you who are blessed by My Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." And this is what Jesus then says. "For I was hungry, and you gave Me food. I was thirsty, and you gave Me drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed Me. I was naked, and you clothed Me. I was sick, and you visited Me. I was in prison, and you came to Me." Then the righteous will answer, saying, "Lord, when did we see You hungry and feed You, or thirsty and give You drink? And when did we see You a stranger and welcome You, or naked and clothe You? And when did we see You sick or in prison and visit You?" And the King will answer them, "Truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these My brothers, you did it to Me." God has given us the privilege of being kind to one another, of caring for one another. And then when we do that, we're doing it as unto Him, as unto Jesus Himself. There was a story told of a lady who was in nursing school. During the second month of nursing school, this professor gave a pop quiz. She was a conscientious student and had breezed through a lot of the questions until she reached the last one, and this was the last question on the quiz. "What is the first name of the woman who cleans the school?" She thought, surely this is some kind of a joke. She had seen the cleaning woman several times. She was a tall, dark-haired lady in her 50s, but how would she be expected to know her name? She handed her paper in, leaving the last question blank. And just before class ended, one student asked if the last question would count toward the grade on the quiz. "Absolutely," said the professor. He said, "In your careers, you will meet many people. All are significant. They deserve your attention and care, even if all you do is smile and say hello." This lady said, "I'll never forget that lesson." And I also learned her name was Dorothy. As fellow believers, please, let's not fall into the way this world works and measure people based on any status at all. Let's be kind to one another. Let's know one another by name and then love one another well in demonstrating the kindness that God would have us to demonstrate to each other. So in looking at this message from God's Word about kindness, we ask ourselves these questions. Do I find myself falling into a false kindness at times in my life just to make myself feel better? We do that sometimes. I've done that at times. Done something. It would have been seen by other people as a very kind thing to do or say, but my motivation for doing it or saying it was just to make myself feel better. Not that that doesn't happen when we are kind, genuinely being led by the Spirit. Yes, it does. It makes us recognize, God, I'm thankful that I'm being obedient to You in this moment. But my primary motivation should not just be to try to make myself feel better. Certainly it shouldn't be to shy away from speaking the message of kindness to someone who needs to hear that message. Do I see the kindness of the Holy Spirit as a way to demonstrate the gospel to other people? Do I see this as an open door? And we're going to have, today is Be Blessed and Be a Blessing Sunday. If you didn't see the tables in the hallway, please take those things, be blessed in whatever you can take, and be a blessing to other people in your lives. Share those things with other people. Be kind and give We also are going to have the young people. We had it come in today, on Thursday rather, this week. Boxes that are kind of a disaster relief thing that came with the boxes from Midwest. But they are perfect little bags that you can give to folks that you may see on the highways and byways or on the streets. Money, again, if God leads you to give money in a certain situation, so be it. I'm not going to question His leading in your life. But food, a very tangible thing that can be very useful. So we'll have those out here. And I would just challenge each one of you, grab one of those and look for a time this week that you can give that to someone. And not just give it to them, but like that story about Dorothy. Ask them what their name is. May that be an opportunity for you to pray specifically by name for an individual that you maybe would not have otherwise met. So those will be available here as we leave. But looking for a way in kindness to demonstrate the gospel of Christ. Finally, how am I doing on being kind to fellow believers? Or do I find it easier to be kind to other people that I don't know as well? Sometimes we can find it easier to be kind to a stranger than we can to somebody in our own family. Whether that's immediate family or whether it's church family. We can kind of be kind to people we don't know as well, but man, you start really getting to know people, it can be a little harder to be kind all the time. But this is what God wants us to do as fellow members of a body of believers. So let's take that challenge today. Again, as you're leaving today, please grab something out. The young people will be out here with boxes and Natalie will be with them, or grab something off the back tables. And please look for a way to demonstrate kindness. And maybe that'll be an open door for us to speak truth into the lives of other people. Let's pray together. Father, we do thank You for this time together this morning. Oh, as we looked at Your Word and saw that it was Your kindness that is demonstrated through Jesus Christ in our lives that brings us any hope at all in this life and the life to come, and really in being able to be kind to other people that I know in and of myself, in my own flesh, in my own sinful nature, I just wouldn't want to be kind to. But I pray that You would keep us filled with Your Spirit, that we would be in step with Your Spirit, and in doing so, that we wouldn't provoke one another or envy each other, but instead be looking for ways to just be kind to one another as we reflect Your kindness to us. We pray all this, thanking You for it. In Jesus' name, amen.